I tried to get him in some of those pictures, but a lot of them were pictures that he took. So I said, send me some with you in them. But Roman was a blessing to us. He helped out. He was willing to just do whatever it took, and he had a great time, and the Lord blessed his visit. Come ahead, Brother Roman. I've asked Brother Roman to share a little bit about his experience.
First off, I'd just like to thank the church and everybody that contributed, because my trip got paid for anonymously, so I appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else does as well. But it was a wonderful trip. It was a great experience for me and everybody. It was a blessing. Like I'm probably going to reiterate a lot of the same stuff that they said, but it was a blessing to me just to experience everything there, the culture, the people, being able to actually speak to them and get to know them. You can really see their heart and their love for everybody. It didn't feel like meeting strangers. It felt like meeting extended family, and they were more welcoming and friendly than I ever would have imagined. And even the Hindus and the Muslims that we talk to are friendlier than most of the people, even the Christians in the States. Everybody was welcoming. I got multiple stories I could tell you, but another time maybe. But in there, it's a pretty terrible economic condition, and there's a huge lack of opportunities. And despite all that, the joy and the love that they showed and the joy in the Lord is very encouraging. And regardless of what they had, they would share it. They desired actually to have you in their home. It's hard to get back sometimes and late at night, but it's a good time and good experience. But food wise, people mentioned that was very good. We had our fill, and they fed us so much we didn't even have an appetite most of the time. We just kept eating. And like you said, like when we're done, we're done. But they didn't know that necessarily. So that was something. But also, just I would encourage anyone, if you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip sometime, somewhere, it's very enlightening and eye-opening. And you'll appreciate it. I think overall, like some of the memories we have will last a lifetime. And it's good to get to know them. And there's a few of them I'm already kind of in contact with, because there's limited Wi-Fi and stuff like that. But a few have it, and they like to stay in contact. But overall, it was a blessing to go. They said it's a blessing for them, but I agree that it was probably more beneficial to us. But thank you.
I'm going to ask Brother Josh Wilson, and he's going to say a few things. Brother Josh is a member of Chapel Hill Ridge Baptist Church in Harrison, Indiana. He lives in Richmond, Kentucky. He'll share a few things.
It's good to see some familiar faces, and those of you here at Southside Baptist Church, it's good to see you, and I'm delighted to see, I didn't expect to see, some friends that we went to church with several years ago in Kentucky before they moved here to Florida, and they're here this morning, so it's kind of overwhelming to me in some ways. I guess the main thing that the Lord taught me while I was there was probably my life verse is Romans 2:4, where it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." I'm just humbled at the goodness of God to me. When I think about it, in salvation, just saving me would have been more than any of us deserved, and more than we could ever repay him for, as just as was sang in the song. But on top of that, oh, that we would tell the world that the true joy, the true happiness in life, aren't found in the things of this world, as we experienced there in Guyana, but they're found in Christ. God has been so good to me, in the family he's given me, and salvation, and then the friends in Christ we have. And so I want to praise Him this morning and thank God for the opportunity to go. But there's twofold to that. God doesn't change, and we know that. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. So I want to commend the church here and your pastor.
Amen.
For your insight, your willingness to follow the leading of the Lord and to put this mission trip into action so we could partake in it. I'm grateful to you, to Brother Jonathan, his family, and all of you that have contributed in any way. Continue to follow the Lord and His leading. Not for the blessings, but for the sake of having the presence of God.
Amen.
I guess perspective is a lot of it. As Romans said, and everyone has said, a mission trip, I think in a lot of ways what it does, it doesn't really maybe teach us things that we maybe don't already know, but it adds different perspective to it. And the thing that I guess stuck out to me is we were there. The people were so welcoming, as you've heard, so loving, so compassionate toward us. But they, materially speaking, they didn't have much. But you didn't know it from talking to them.
Right.
And as we look, I think the Hindus now have 7 million gods that they worship. And we sit and think, what a terrible tragedy that they don't know the one true and living God. And that is so. But you know, the thing that God has shown me there is that we're no different here in this country, other than they go by the name of Hindu. Many in this country go by the name of Christian. We have all the blessings of God, and what we've done is made them God.
Right.
And so it's helped me gain perspective. God has dealt with me personally while we were there. And I'm grateful to Him for not quitting on me when I deserve to be quit on. I'm thankful for His love, His mercy, and His goodness. And I'm just humbled by the opportunity to go, by having a friend as in your pastor. Outside of my wife and the Lord Jesus Christ, probably the best friend a person could ask for. And I'm just in awe of how good God is to me.
Amen.
And those people, it was somewhat uncomfortable at times. Not necessarily in a bad way, but because they were so good to us, they esteemed us so high, and yet we're just common everyday people. In a lot of ways, they may have been closer to the Lord than we were, but they were good to us, loving, compassionate. May we learn from that example. And as was said, as good as they were and compassionate as they were in the churches and in the community, they need Christ. And the people that were there that were Christians, they were encouraged just hearing Christ and Him crucified and Him risen again on their behalf. But the lost, they were receptive. Only one guy, I think, and we went on visitation every night before church with the exception of the last night or two. And I think there was one gentleman I remember that wouldn't come out and talk to us. You would walk up to the little fence and say, "Inside." And they would say, "Outside." And they would come to you and welcome you in, talk to you. And as was said, it didn't matter if it was a Christian, a Hindu, or a Muslim. They would listen to you, be respectful, and they would take the tracts that you had for them. And as I said, I guess I just take away from it, in a lot of ways, they had true joy, because in many ways all they had was God. And I pray that it doesn't take that for us as Americans, and even closing the circle a little more, us as Christians and as Baptists, to have to lose all to realize, as we've heard in Sunday school, that God is all.
Amen.
It was kind of convicting to me. I don't know that I saw the children outside of a kite playing with one toy, but as you can see in the videos, those kids were as happy as any kid you'll see here in America, whether it was on a hoverboard or anything that you could find. And in a lot of ways, medically speaking, they have nothing. But what it brought me to was, we should help them, but more so, we should be in prayer to the great physician that can help them in ways that we couldn't, and us too. So I leave you with the thought of just, you follow your pastor as he follows the Lord.
Amen.
And ultimately, you follow the Lord personally, because that's the one thing that I learned the Lord has to put me in remembrance of. It's not church. It's not a great revival meeting. It's not a mission trip that brings us closer to the Lord. It's a personal relationship. And I think that every guy here could tell you one thing that made the difference was a lot of the distractions were removed. We were around the Word of God, the people of God, and fellow members of your church and churches here in the States. And you start to get real with God, and God gets real with you.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
One last piece of humor, and I'll leave you. But the last thing I think the Lord taught me while we were there was He enhanced my prayer life. It was Good Friday, I think. And generally speaking, you could go to the street and just stand there, and the people would stop. You would give them 50 cents to a dollar, and they'd take you where you wanted to go. But Good Friday, there was very few cabs out, very few people working. And so we were leaving one area, going to another area. Brother John and them got in a cab and went ahead. Brother Jonathan and myself and Roman waited back. And we got in with this young man, this Hindu, and there was a young lady in the back, and there was another gentleman in the front. Brother Jonathan and I and Roman in the back with this young lady piled on each other. Roman sitting on my lap, and the guy got the music blasting, and the lady, he takes off like he had stole something, and the lady in the car with us said, "Can you please take your time?" And he just turned the radio up and kept driving. And the goats and the sheep were coming out in the road, and he didn't stop. He just kind of went sideways and went around. At one point, we were from here to the pulpit from hitting some livestock. And then there was an oncoming truck and a motorcycle going the way we were going. And instead of slowing down or anything, he just went right between them on a two-lane road. It was bad enough that I told the young lady with us, I said, "Here's some money. When we get out, you get out and get another cab." Now, she didn't do that. But nonetheless, I learned, if you want to work on your prayer life, go to Guyana and get a cab, and you'll have no problem getting in touch with God. Thank you for the opportunity, and I praise God for you. And this brother that's about to speak, he goes by the same last name I do, but I don't know him, and we're not any kin. And once he speaks, you'll know why I prefaced it with that.
All right, Brother Jason Wilson is pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Oblong, Illinois. Brother, we're just going to forego that song. I'm sorry, I should have told you, but we're constrained for time. So, brother, if you'll come, I've asked Brother Jason to share briefly a little bit of his experience and a brief message for us this morning. After he is done, I'll make a couple announcements, and then we'll head down for our fellowship dinner. Carson, you want to turn me off here?
Southside Baptist Church. I've heard many good things from Brother Josh. He speaks highly of you. Your pastor speaks highly of you. So it's good to finally be here and good to meet some of the people. And I won't say much about the trip because so much has already been said, and there's so much more that could be said, but we all had the same idea about really what it was that stood out. And but one of the things that I want to mention, I'm by no means well-seasoned when it comes to mission trips. This is only my second foreign mission trip. I've been to several here in the States, several mission works going on in the big cities that are focused on, specific ethnic groups or nationalities. So somewhat the same principle, just a closer drive, actually. But this was by far the best mission trip that I've been on since being in the ministry. Now, we had hiccups. We had some confusions. I mean, there were some things that were issues, but yet we were able to overcome them. And the reason those things didn't hinder the trip is because the spirit that was there.
Right.
You've heard a lot about the spirit of the people. With all their lack of amenities and lack of opportunities, they made up for that with their love for the Lord and with their joy. But the spirit of the group was overwhelming. All, was it 17 of us? I forget the exact number. 17 of us that went. Many of them I had never met until the day we were all piling in the vans to go, except for Brother Josh. I've known him for way too long. But just the spirit of everybody that was there, our entire group, and how it meshed with the people there, that was one of the blessings of God. That was one of the proofs of the Spirit of God working. So that was a great joy for me. And as everybody has said, we appreciate Brother Bush and all of his efforts and the church and just all the things that went into it, whether it be the financial aspect, the legwork of dealing with the travel agency and all of that. It was just so many things went into this, and it is a great blessing. And I needed this experience for me personally. Spiritually, I needed to get away. I needed to have a recharge, needed to have some preaching for myself. So it was a definite good change of scenery. It's always good to come home, but there's always that, I wouldn't mind staying another 7 days. I wouldn't mind staying and continuing in the work. And, so that's one of the things that was definitely difficult, not only on their end, but for our end as well. So we are thankful to everyone involved. I am thankful for your pastor. I usually wouldn't say it when he's here, but I've told Brother Josh and many other preachers, he's one of the best pastors of our generation.
Amen.
Even though he's older than me, doesn't look it. No, he's actually a little bit younger than me, but he is one of the best pastors of our generation. God's given him wisdom. God's given him a heart for things, but more importantly, God's given him a church that is supportive of him and that follows him. So I commend you in getting behind him and just the church having the will and having the desire to support these types of things. And it's always a blessing to see the people of God being used of God greatly. And that's one of the things that I got out of the mission trip this time. Looking forward to the next time. Looking forward to Jamaica next year. It really just gives you a desire to do and to serve and just to be used of God. Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to have what we call a short message. I'll see how much I can cut out of it. But let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I just want to really, I have a few simple thoughts today that I want to encourage the people of God here today. Encourage those who are here visiting. Encourage those who are members here at Southside Baptist Church. And we just want to really take a moment to look at some of these things that have gone on this week and some of the reasons behind doing what we do as the people of God. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's stand for a moment, give you a moment to stretch your legs and yawn really, really big so nobody else will see you do it. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll read just a couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just to, Lord, to thank you and to praise you for your goodness and for your mercy. We're thankful, dear God, for the trip and everything that went on and the safety that we enjoyed. And Father, we are thankful, Lord, just for what you're going to do in our hearts and minds because of this trip and because of this work that's going on there in Guyana. And Father, we just pray today that you would give us some of their joy. Lord, that you would work on our hearts and help us to be more focused on, Lord, you than the things that we have. Lord, that we could be more focused on your will and your work than the distractions that are so often in our lives. So, Father, help us today, Lord, to see you. Help us, dear God, today to seek your face. Help us, dear God, today to respond to the Spirit of God as it speaks and as it moves in our lives. We praise you and we thank you for the time that we have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. But reading the Apostle Paul always convicts me. But even the first little part of this, remembering, that convicts me because I have a terrible memory. But Paul here says, remembering without ceasing. So what Paul witnessed in the church at Thessalonica stuck with him. The things that he saw, the things that were going on, he could not forget them, and he would not forget them. He made it a point to remember this, because what the church in Thessalonica was doing made a great impression on him. And you'll remember, Paul was many times just, there for a short time in many of these places that he traveled through in the book of Acts, and sometimes he might spend a few years and, able to come back later on, but really Paul was limited in his influence that he had. So to see what the people of God were doing in all these different places is amazing. And it shows the power of God working in the lives of once heathen people. But Paul saw and he remembered without ceasing their work of faith. And what Paul is about to do in these next few verses is he's going to reveal the character of the church at Thessalonica. He's going to show us what they were doing and why they were doing it and the impact that it was having on people all around. So he says that he could not forget, he had to remember their work of faith. Now, we realize what work means to most of us, but the fact that this church was doing something, that they were physically working, they were physically serving the Lord, they were ministering one to another, they were fulfilling the Great Commission, they were doing those basic responsibilities that the people of God have. They were doing that reasonable service that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. They were doing what they should be doing. They were doing what they could be doing for the Lord. They were just being obedient. And it was a work. But more importantly, it was a work of faith. It was a work of faith. You see, faith produces works, not the other way around. And of course, we could go over to James and read much about that. He that saith he hath faith and hath no works, then all the different things. Faith without works is dead. And James says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So we understand the importance of works, but we must not take away the fact that it must be a work of faith. That the faith that God gives to us should manifest these types of works in our lives. And I often say that faith and works go together, kind of like white beans and cornbread. One without the other is just not very fulfilling. Or for those of us on the trip, faith and works is like roti and choka. Roti is a bread and choka is any paste made from any fruit that they could find. And usually it's very good. But Paul saw their work of faith. Not just that they were busy, not just that there was activities, not just that they were doing something, but they were doing it because of their faith. So he saw their work of faith, and he said, I have to remember that. I want to make myself remember this. I am going to not let this go. I'm going to constantly remind myself of the work of faith that was going on in this church. But even more than that, there was a labor of love. Now, we could talk all day about the modern differences in work and labor, but I like to think of, in Scripture, when you see work, it's physical. When you see labor, it's spiritual. And that might not always be the case, depending on the etymology of the words and different things, but just overall, that's how I view things when I'm reading through the Scripture. Now work is a task. Work is a responsibility, but a labor is something far more than that. A labor is something that is toil. A labor is tiresome. A labor will make you weary. Labor is what we might call hard work. But it was a labor of love. Amen. You see, their faith led them to work, but their love led them to labor. Amen. It's far different to do a job, to do a task, because you know it needs to be done. But when there's a labor of love involved, it's completely different. It's a different mindset. It's a different perspective. So this labor of love that Paul saw, that means that they were doing it because of the love that God had shown to them. And it manifested in their lives and through their lives. And as Paul says over in chapter 4 in verse 9, he says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So the church at Thessalonica, they had their ducks in a row. I mean, they had some things going for them. The Word of God had definitely taken root in their hearts, and it was manifested in their lives and in their church and in everything that they were doing. They had a work of faith. They had a labor of love, a spiritual labor. Ministering to people, praying for one another, bearing one another's burdens, forgiving one another. That's a labor, isn't it? It's one thing to say it. Lip service is easy. But to spiritually labor, not just with people, but for people. That takes love. That takes love. And whenever we look at the impression that this made upon Paul, and whenever I read both of these epistles to this church, and whenever you start looking at the details that Paul is mentioning, I say, man, what a church. I mean, this is the kind of church that the Lord intended for His people to be a part of. This is the kind of church that God's people should be able to operate and to work through and fulfill the Great Commission and do the things of God. This is a great church, to the extent that Paul said, I can't forget this. And when we look at not just churches in America, but even the churches in Guyana, we all have our problems, don't we? Every church is different, being in a different location, being in a different region, different area. But have you noticed today, so much when it comes to churches, we focus way too much on what's going on, what's not going on. And not just in one church, but we're all too worried about what's going on in other churches. And you know what? I pastor my church, and I can barely control it, and we're very small. But I can't look at Brother Jonathan and say, well, he's doing something different. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's right. We're so focused on that. We're all messed up. Yeah. And when you look at the Word of God, and you see there's many problems in all the churches that Paul writes to, but what does Paul focus more on? The why. Why they were doing what they were doing. Why they were practicing things that they ought not, and how he could correct that. Why they were practicing things that were good, and he uses that to try to encourage them and to encourage others. But yet, whenever I look at the condition of churches today, we have the wrong perspective many times. Sometimes we have the wrong things in mind that we focus on. We need to be focusing on the Lord. What He would have us to do. What He has commanded us to do. But so this church here, they've got a work of faith. They've got a labor of love. And yes, we can look at that and see many of those things very prevalent in our lives, in our churches. But this last part here is very important. They had a patience of hope. A patience of hope. And you say, well, what is that? And to put it easily, to understand, that was the endurance of the work and the labor. They had a work of faith. Their faith in Christ led them to work, led them to serve. They had a labor of love. The love that God showed to them, the love that manifested in them, caused them to labor. But they also had a patience of hope. Because working and laboring for the Lord, it does get tiresome sometimes. It does get weary. It does take a toll on you. As I believe it was the pastor said, you know, this week was physically tiring, but it was spiritually uplifting. And sometimes doing the things of the Lord, when we start doing it for the wrong reasons, we start to question why. Why am I doing this? Is this really necessary? Is this going unnoticed or unappreciated? That's because we had the wrong mindset. We had the wrong outlook on what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, you see, God gave these people faith. He gave them love and He gave them the patience of hope so that they could continue on to do the things that God wanted them to do. And I'm not very good at grammar per se, but when you look at this phrase and how it's worded here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did the faith come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where did the love come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where did the patience come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. He gave the people at Thessalonica these things. He gave them that faith and all the other fruits of the Spirit, and it manifested itself in works. He gave them that love, and that enabled them to labor for one another and to labor for the gospel and to labor for those around them. And He gave them patience, because that's the only person that can give it, isn't it? When you and I need some motivation sometimes, there's many a days when I need a good swift kick in the rear and not ashamed to ask for it. And my wife will usually oblige me on it. But it's short-lived, it really is. It just doesn't take effect. And, you know, yes, we're supposed to uplift one another and encourage one another, but the only way that's going to last, the only way that's going to really be sincere and authentic is when the Lord is doing it. Amen. And yes, the Lord will use you to encourage someone else, and the Lord might use someone else to encourage you and to motivate you and to uplift you. That's when we know that somebody is in the will of God and they're being used of God. But I can try to encourage you all day, and I'm not very encouraging. I can try to uplift you all day, and it's just not going to work. But when the Lord does it, that's when it's going to last. When the Lord does it, that's when it's going to be evident. Amen. To the fact where Paul said, I remember that. I'm not going to forget that. And then in verse 4, this is still a continuation of the same sentence, the same thought. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul says, because of what I saw in you, I know your election of God. Because of how the people responded to the Word of God and how they responded to the teaching of the Word of God and how they reacted to the Spirit of God moving, Paul says, there it is, right there. Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. And the church at Thessalonica was producing some fruit. And Paul says, I see it. And I can't forget this. And he even says at the last part of verse 3, in the sight of God and our Father. So he's reminding them, God sees it just as much as I see it, even more so. So he's trying to encourage these people, trying to help them to understand that what there's some things that they're doing that are good, that are godly, that are great, that God smiles upon. Now, did this church have problems? Yes, they did. Did this church have some things that Paul had to address? Yes, they did. But when we see the things here in the very initial opening of this epistle, Paul's church, Paul shows us what God has done for these people. And just for sake of time, let's skip down a little bit. Verse 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So this church wasn't just doing things behind closed doors. They weren't just encouraging one another at the church building. They were not just, you know, keeping their Christianity to themselves, but they were examples to other people, other places. They were being used of God, not just locally, but they were branching out. Then in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. I mean, these people were having an influence in other people's lives. This church was doing what churches should be doing. These people were living a life that was exemplary of the commands of God, of the will of God. Now, were they confused on some doctrinal issues? Yes, they were. Were they still clinging to some idolatry? Yes, they were. But the Lord had worked so much in their life that Paul could look at it and say, I know your election of God because I see the fruits in your life. I see how the Spirit of God has changed you. As Brother John mentioned about how he said, you know, you were serving dumb idols, but now look at you. Glory to God. But then he also says at the last part of verse 8, for we need not to speak anything. Don't you wish more preachers would say that? Things are going so good, I'm just going to shut up and sit down. I've heard one say that, but never heard anybody actually do that. It's always that one more verse, I'm going to close. Seven verses later, we're still closing. We'll try to refrain from that today. But Paul is saying, wherever I go, I don't have to use you as an example because your life is already an example. I don't have to say that church at Thessalonica, man, they're serving God, they're on fire for God, they're doing great things. People say, I know, I've seen it. They knocked on my door. They caught me in the street. They preached the word of God to me. Paul says, you're doing such a work. You have such a labor. The patience of hope is so prevalent in your life. Man, you're getting ahead of the Apostle Paul. What a blessing. So whenever I read these things, and whenever I see how Paul reacts to these things, it's one of those more convicting times. What about me? What about my life? What about my church? What about you? What about this church? Would the Apostle Paul say the same things about us? Whatever Paul, would he see what we're doing and how we're doing and more importantly, why we're doing it? And say, man, that's a church. That's somebody who's on fire for God. That's somebody who is manifesting the fruits of the Spirit in their life. But that's what I want. That's what I want. And whenever we, definitely coming off a high, coming off a mission trip, coming off all the preaching, all the fellowship, all the good times, and this church, came together and has done something really great for the Lord. And I think it falls right in line with the church here at Thessalonica in chapter 1. So to encourage you today, all I can say is continue. Continue on. Keep moving. Keep going. Keep trying to do the work of faith. Keep trying to do the labor of love. Keep having that patience of hope to endure the work and the labor. And may God continue to give that faith, because without Him we don't have it. May God continue to give us the ability to love so that we can labor, not just one for another, but for those in Guyana, for those in Jamaica, for those all over the world, for our neighbors, for the guy walking across the street. May God truly give us the faith and the love to do the things like we see here in this first chapter. And, you know, today, of course, this should be every Sunday, but many times it's not. But I'm just glad to be saved today. Amen. Glad to be a child of God. Glad to serve the Most High. Glad to be in a church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. Good to be with the people of God. Looking forward to some good American food here in a little bit. Not going to lie to you. That's on the agenda. Praise God. But yet, I see my lack. I see my lack of faith. I see my lack of love. I see my lack of patience. Every day, all day. But when you go to a... And we were trying to debate on whether it was a third world country because of the technology they have. We're not sure on that yet. But when you go to a different country that lacks a lot of things physically that we have, and they have a whole lot more faith, and they have a whole lot more love, they have a whole lot more patience than what we do, that's convicting. That's convicting. So not just that I go there and learn a lot about them and about the ministry and about the culture, I learned a lot about me. Those are hard lessons sometimes, aren't they? So as we close out this service today, and as Pastor said, very, very different service, not what we're used to, but very needful. very needful for those who weren't able to go to see the things that went on and to, you know, somewhat try to visualize the work that goes on and the blessing that we receive from it. Definitely encourage you to try to go to any other trip that goes forth, as many of the other people who spoke have done. But on top of that, let's ask God to give us more faith. You know, even the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. The disciples, many times, Jesus scolded them. Where's your faith? Why do you lack faith? Same thing goes for us. Let's pray that God give us more faith. Let's pray that God give us more love. Now, He couldn't give us more love because He's already given us all the love that He has in giving us His Son. But may He allow us to manifest that love so much more. May He allow the love of God to permeate our lives. And may we be an extension of the love of God. May we be a tool of the love of God. Lord, give us that work of faith. Lord, give us that labor of love. Give us the patience of hope. So the next time when somebody comes down here and starts asking people around the community, they say, oh yeah, Southside Baptist Church, we know all about them. We know all about them. To the point to where I ain't got to say nothing. Because the church is doing what it should be doing. The church is being obedient to the words of God. The church is being obedient to the will of God. And the church is working according to the Spirit of God. Then we'll see the blessings. Then we'll have the commendation that Paul gives to these people. Not that we do it for that, but you know it was encouraging for these people to hear that. So today I just want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, and I want to thank you for all that's went on in preparation for this. Thank you for coming today. It truly is a blessing to be with God's people. Amen. And may He continue to work in your heart, work in your life. Whatever you're lacking today, may He meet that need. Whatever it is in your life that is hindering you from not serving the Lord as you should, maybe you're lacking salvation today, may the Spirit of God speak. May the Spirit of God move. And may we respond to the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now.